Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. Beets are a nutritional gold mine, full of antioxidants and nutrients, but they're a mess to prepare. So just mix Super Beets with 4 ounces of water and boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure. Get the Dr. Hoffman special offer at intelligentbeets.com. That's intelligentbeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we want to wish you a very happy holiday. And if you're timely in listening to your podcast and you keep up, this should be a podcast that you hear in that sort of quiet interregnum between Christmas and New Year's. So it's a time to reflect on our New Year's resolutions. I suggest you check out the article I wrote, Top 10 Health Resolutions You Can Keep, which I wrote with the idea in mind that many of our health resolutions are resolutions that we easily break. You know, we say, "Oh, I want to lose weight
by February 4th,"
or "I want to lose 25 pounds by by March 1st." And it's an unrealistic goal. I mean, sometimes attainable, but it's a vague goal. There's no implementation plan. It's just sort of like, Babe Ruth pointing to the stands and saying, "I'm going to hit the ball over there. I'm going to hit the home run."
Right.
And without an implementation plan, only the most talented ball player can reliably hit a home run into the right field stands. And so my top 10 resolutions for 2015 are specific and doable and realistic.
And measurable.
And measurable, and you can, pick and choose among the 10 or implement all 10 if you so choose, because if you were to implement all 10, I assure you, you would find yourself in far better shape in 2015 than you have in previous years. So I'm just prompting people to take their health in their hands in 2015. So check out that article, Top 10 Resolutions That You Can, underline can, keep in 2015. So we're here today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mutin. Did you have a nice Christmas, Layla?
I did.
Okay, great.
And how was Hanukkah?
Hanukkah was great. I mean, it was like, I lit the candles every night. It was like, sometimes it'd be like, "Oh my goodness, it's like I'm ready to go to bed. I forgot to light the candles." But every year it's like, the goal is to light the candles every single day for 8 consecutive days. And mission accomplished. That's a mitzvah. It's a good thing to light the candles for Hanukkah. And what do we have in store for us today in terms of questions?
We have a question from Angelique, who is an RD. She's a renal dietitian. She says, "Thanks to both of you, I'm inspired to return to school to earn a master's degree in integrative and functional nutrition."
Awesome.
Yeah.
I am so excited when we inspire people. This has actually happened quite a few times. So I've read a letter before from MJ, who was a disciple, listener, call it what you will. She just achieved her nutrition credential. And she is beginning her career, a new career in nutrition practice. And so it's very gratifying that people like that find this a valuable resource and are inspired, and as I was, and probably you were, listening to people who were luminaries in the field in that time.
Yeah.
You know, and because, legacy is important, and, I think that that's one of the nice things about what we do, is that it inspires people to get healthy, and other people to not just get personally healthy, but spread the word almost in an evangelical way. So that's great.
Yes. Angelique's question is, are you doing a clinical focus on kidney or kidney disease? Because she's a renal dietitian.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's wondering also, she's especially interested in common complaints, including dysbiosis in renal patients who are also dialysis patients.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, people who are in dialysis or people in kidney failure are a big mess.
Yeah, yeah.
And
very challenging.
If they don't die from renal failure, which now we can prevent with dialysis, they have a much accelerated risk of a variety of degenerative diseases. They have high risk of heart attack, mm-hmm. high risk of stroke. They have a high risk of Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Because the inflammatory and toxic changes that occur rapidly can accelerate Alzheimer's. It's even thought that the filtrate, which used aluminum mm-hmm. in dialysis, accelerated yeah. Alzheimer's, because they found a lot of aluminum deposition in the brains of patients with dialysis. Now, that could mean that it wasn't the aluminum that was the fault, is that sometimes the degenerative condition itself allows aluminum to enter the cells. It's not kept out efficiently.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't the cause. It just was a coexisting factor. Mm-hmm. This has led people to worry about aluminum and deodorants as being the cause of dementia, and I'm not sure that...
The skin does absorb it.
Yeah, the skin definitely does absorb it.
Even more so than our aluminum pots and pans for cooking.
Yes.
So that's very interesting, actually.
At any rate, dialysis is complicated. Certainly some things that have to be restricted when you're in renal failure. We have to be careful about excess potassium, excess phosphate. And anybody who's trained in this field knows... Yeah. How to advise those patients. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that, the vast majority of people can walk into a health food store and practically take everything on the shelves without doing themselves grievous harm. Maybe they're wasting their money. Maybe they could take something that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to really do yourself a lot of harm.
Mm-hmm.
A renal patient can absolutely do themselves harm because supplements that are not properly eliminated through the kidneys build up in the system. You could overdose on magnesium, you could overdose on potassium, you could overdose on certain things.
Yeah.
So you have to be selective about nutrients.
Absolutely.
However, what's good for renal patients? We love coenzyme Q10. We mm-hmm. love carnitine.
Mm-hmm.
That has helped to energize many of those patients. Mm-hmm. Those patients require additional vitamin D. They're even given vitamin D by prescription. They're given 125 vitamin D, which is the active form of vitamin D.
Which the kidneys are not making for them.
Because
the
kidneys are dead. I mean, the kidneys aren't working. So for non-experts in vitamin D has to go through two phases of activation, one in the liver and then one in the kidney. And I think it's the 25 hydroxylation that happens in the kidney, and it's the 1 hydroxylation that happens in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have either one of those diseases, you don't have active vitamin D that's the metabolizable form.
You think it's safe to treat dysbiosis in these renal patients?
It is, but there are some concerns with using probiotics in patients who are critically ill. It's actually controversial because they used to think, oh my goodness, we're giving those patients so many antibiotics, but some of those patients are so sick that their immune systems are poor and they can actually overgrow the lactobacillus and they can actually get D-lactate. It's a very specific lactic acidosis from the lactobacillus that proliferates in their guts. Patients who are too sick. So some trials in patients who are critically ill, not that dysbiosis patients aren't necessarily critically ill, they're immunosuppressed, but some patients who are critically ill, they don't do well with probiotics. And some studies, other studies suggested that there was a benefit because they certainly have depleted intestinal flora because they've been given tons of antibiotics and they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that remains controversial.
Okay.
Probiotics, I think, could be very helpful in patients with renal disease. There should not be a problem. And they will reduce the toxicity that's created by bad bacteria in the intestine. And, so that, I think, is probably a good move.
Okay. Angelique, you could probably look forward to a clinical focus.
Yeah, that's something I need to get around to.
Yeah.
I try to hit some of the big problems, the major problems. It's a little less of a common concern, dialysis and renal failure, but it's worth talking about.
Or maybe just chronic kidney disease, possibly.
Chronic kidney disease.
Yeah. Okay. Angelique, best of luck. Thank you for listening. We have a question from Rick. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have a biological hernia implant. Can you explain, in layman's terms, please, why I should not take your sterol?
Oh, I don't...
Is that even related?
First of all, a biological...
Hernia implant.
A biological... I guess that means like a... almost like a tissue graft or tissue matrix
mm-hmm.
that's non-mesh or non-synthetic. I think that's what that means. A graft or something. I have to say, I've not heard of that. I don't know, this is a hernia repair, right?
Yeah.
Most hernia repairs are done with a mesh The mesh has created some problems in the past, so maybe they moved to biological implants. Why, you know, Modicare Stearinol is designed to help with autoimmunity. I would think that in case of the potential for rejection of foreign tissue, it might be actually helpful.
Yeah.
You know, why not take it?
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, there are two aspects to the question I'm troubled by. First of all, I don't know all the ins and outs of these biological tissue implants.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I don't think anybody really knows the effects of Modicare on such an entity, because that's an esoteric question. And is his angle that he thinks Modicare might not be useful, or has he been told Modicare is potentially harmful? We don't know from this question.
Mm. Okay.
Right?
I
mean,
yeah. No.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about Modicare. What is it?
Modicare are the plant sterols to help modulate immunity, meaning not so it doesn't overreact,
right,
which is exactly what we don't want in autoimmune
disease.
So we
might use that in lupus, in scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis.
MS.
Yeah. And Modicare is a product that's actually made by Wakanaga, the same company that makes Kyolic aged garlic extract.
Mm.
So it's a big, reputable company, and that's actually one of their more, less heavy hitter products. But nonetheless, it's an interesting and unique product. It's a Stearinol.
Stearinol.
Not a steroid, but a Stearinol.
Mm-hmm.
So it has steroid-like properties in terms of suppressing an overexuberant immune response. And I would say if you have a tissue rejection against foreign tissue, that could be helpful.
Yeah.
That could take the edge off the, modulate the immune response. That's why it's called Modicare.
All right. Best of luck to Rick.
Yeah.
We have a question from Melanie, who has Graves' disease. She is trying to, her doctor is already talking to her about the iodine radiation, and she refuses. She's 5'7", her weight fluctuates between 118 and 123. She's having palpitations, awful anxiety, shakes, tunnel vision, hands and feet are cold. And is there any way to avoid that? Is there any way to...
Here's the thing with hyperthyroidism. There are three ways to treat it conventionally. One is to use a medication, usually PTU, propothiouracil, which sometimes works, but often works for a while and then stops working.
Mm-hmm.
So the next step is to destroy the overactive thyroid. This is an overactive, as opposed to Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism. This is hyperthyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
You can destroy the thyroid in two ways. One is you give iodine, but radioactive iodine, which finds its way specifically to the thyroid, because iodine is absorbed by the thyroid, and then it goes just to the thyroid, not hopefully to other parts of the body.
Heat-seeking missile.
Exactly.
Thyroid-seeking missile.
It's a thyroid-seeking missile, destroys the thyroid, but then the problem is you're hypothyroid. For the rest of your life, you need to take thyroid medication. The other option is to have your thyroid cut out, removed surgically. It's a thyroidectomy. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, hyperthyroidism is very dangerous because...
To stop the thyroid storm.
Yes, because you're really psychologically bent out of shape, and she sounds like she's in distress.
Yes.
B...
She's exhausted.
Now, you'd think you'd get a lot of energy from thyroid. So for those of you who say, I just need some more and more and more and more thyroid, too much thyroid is exhausting. You are wired but tired. And also, your muscles become very weak because there's actually one of the hallmarks of hyperthyroidism is the inability to do a push-up or climb stairs because your proximal muscles become very weak. Your heart palpitates and races. That makes you even more tired.
Your bones turn over too rapidly.
And you become osteoporotic. And I actually have had, I had one patient who, very early in my career, she refused to get conventional therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she regretted it because she developed congestive heart failure and a heart arrhythmia from it because her heart was overtaxed and damaged by the hyperthyroidism. But she was very insistent on not getting conventional therapy. So there's a point where conventional therapy is necessary. In terms of natural things that help the thyroid, one is L-carnitine. L-carnitine appears to somewhat slow the thyroid. Now, it's partially
and
effective.
And helps the muscles that are so weakened.
But it specifically seems to slow the thyroid, according to some studies. Now, that doesn't mean regular people who take L-carnitine damage their thyroid. It just in hyperthyroid, it seems to put the brakes on things. Not perfectly, but partially. Also, there's an herb called buhlweed or lycopus, L-Y-C-O-P-U-S, that we sometimes give to patients with that condition. And some doctors recommend that you give high-dose regular iodine. And that Dr. Brownstein is the doctor who advocates this. And I have to say, that is potentially risky. I don't know that that's always going to work because...
She is taking kelp.
Yeah, well, the risk is that when you take iodine, it can either suppress your thyroid, this is non-radioactive iodine, or it can make your thyroid race more.
Wow.
Because thyroid is fuel, iodine is fuel for the thyroid. So I have not, you know, maybe I'm being excessively cautious with my patients and not applying that Brownstein protocol of giving lots of iodine. He believes in it.
Yeah.
But I'm a little concerned that I might do some damage to those patients. And there's a point where, you know, if your thyroid isn't turning the corner and you are, you know, 2, 3, 4 times normal in your thyroid production, it's very dangerous.
What would you think of having this person consume a whole lot of goitrogenic foods? Brassicas and soy and millet.
I'm not sure that that would be good. I'm not even sure that that would be good because that might damage the thyroid, but not necessarily take care of hyperthyroidism.
Okay.
I mean, or and you know, that's a whole issue in and of itself. You know, the goitrogens.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, we've revised an article in our. You know, we have a bunch of articles on virtually all health conditions that we can think of. And one of our classic articles was on
hypothyroidism,
and there was a section on goitrogens. And goitrogens were considered the things that you mentioned.
Right.
You know,
the brassica family vegetables,
right.
Broccoli, kohlrabi, kale, Brussels sprouts,
cauliflower. We got a very interesting letter from a scientist who is a researcher for...
Andy Boy.
So when you buy
lettuce,
it's Andy Boy lettuce. And they're a major company. They're a huge grower of agricultural products in California. And he wasn't, like, ragging on us. He wasn't, like, you know, threatening or bullying or angry. But he said, you know, I read your article on your website, which is commendable. He was doing a search for information. And he said that we painted with a broad brushstroke all the brassicans, you know, broccoli and Brussels sprouts, and included them all together. And he tried to refine our position on this by providing us with lots of scientific evidence that there's not too much evidence that broccoli suppresses the thyroid.
Yeah.
And there's not too much evidence that Brussels sprouts suppress the thyroid. It's more kale.
Yes.
Kale does it. And also there was, and he sent us very kindly, a reprint of a scientific paper about a woman who went into a hypothyroid coma. She actually went...
From all the bok choy.
She was...
The cabbage.
She was eating tons of bok choy. I mean, not like a little serving here. She was like juicing it and whatever, like going to town on bok choy.
The cabbage diet.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't know what she was trying to accomplish, but she killed her thyroid. She actually destroyed it with that. So... We've revised the article, and it reflects some of the new scientific findings that a little bit of broccoli, which is super healthy...
Because of the sulforaphanes, anti-cancer, the prevention,
And this
all
also
that
suggests that when we give patients DIM or SGS, sulforaphane glucosinolate, in the product BroccoMax, that is not going to damage their thyroid. It's probably not going to damage their thyroid because it's from, not all of that family... are associated with the problems. Now, kale is becoming a very popular thing, and some people are juicing kale.
Yes.
And
kale is the new superhero vegetable.
And I'm concerned about it. I mean, there's actually somebody who set up a, I think his medical practice is called Kale.
Oh.
Yeah, and which is unfortunate now. kale, look, I eat kale.
Yeah,
but I don't super consume kale.
I don't overdo
kale.
Yeah. I'm more of an arugula fan.
I love arugula.
Oh, gosh.
You know, arugula is actually very high in nitrites, like beets.
Mm-hmm.
So it supercharges your circulation.
It's in the mustard family.
Yeah, it's got this sort of bitter taste.
It's peppery.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I love
peppery.
I love
arugula.
Are you like one of those
I love arugula.
Like effete arugula-loving people? Because in Flyover America, they sometimes criticize the arugula-loving Americans who are effete snobs from urban areas. I'll admit to being one of those people.
It's a must-have in any salad I make.
Absolutely.
It's got to have equal time with the romaine or the other greens
I've
got to
digress here a little bit, but let me tell you about the salads I'm making these days. I'm like really hooked on this salad. Okay, I get equal parts romaine lettuce. Mm-hmm. I get some arugula, usually. I always have to have some of both. Mm-hmm. I will have Belgian endives that I can slice, so it's nice crunch. Mm-hmm. I add walnuts. I sprinkle chopped walnuts on top. I slice some apples into it.
Nice.
I put some palm hearts on it. I get some marinated artichokes. Mm-hmm. I chop some beets on it. Because,
very nice.
So we've got like all these ingredients. And, you know, it depends on what I have in the house. It's mm-hmm. like it's a rarity they have everything, you know, available all at once. And then I use balsamic vinegar with olive oil on top. I make my own dressing with a little garlic.
Yeah.
And shake it up in a bottle and just pour that on top. And man, that is
that's beautiful.
That's a great salad.
It's hearty.
Wait, what time is it? It's almost time. I'm looking forward to going home and getting my salad there.
Yeah.
But the apples actually give it a nice crunch, just mm-hmm. a little bit, not a ton, because you don't want to eat like a whole apple. Just like a quarter of an apple sliced into that.
Yeah.
Gives a nice crunch. And I don't know if palm hearts have a lot of nutritional value, but I like them. They taste good.
They taste good.
Yep.
That's enough.
I mean, they're white, which mm-hmm. makes me think that they have less nutritional value.
Do you use the red beets or the golden beets?
Red beets.
Yeah. Beets are good.
Right. And I'm doing, of course, now commercials for Super Beets.
Uh-huh.
So I'm getting my beets.
Everybody's asking about them.
Yeah. I'm taking for my every morning before any kind of athletic endeavor, which is like 5 days a week.
Do you think that's a supplement we'll begin to offer since so many people
No, you know what? I just prefer people go to that company and just buy it from them because, and people who are buying it from them, they should say, Dr. Hoffman sent me so that, mm-hmm. Because I want to give the sponsor their due. Mm-hmm. So, buy directly from them. I don't want to be the middleman on that. So you can get a
just heard it, folks. Okay.
Okay. Go get it from, I think there's a website, intelligentbeet.com, which is where you find the information about Super Beets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think unless we have a short question, I'm going to suggest a pause.
It's not a short question.
Okay. So fine. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to pause and let's stipulate this is part one of today's special holiday edition of Q&A with Layla on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. And please join us for part two, where we'll continue with additional questions. Give us a preview.
The macrobiotic diet.
All right. Once again, the macrobiotic diet. We'll talk macrobiotics when we return to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today, it's Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.